Love how the graphic came out, so thank you. It looked good.
Oh, you're welcome. It was fun. The other Radiant Creator, Aaron, did that here at Radiant Creators Central. So,
yeah, I don't know how to do that stuff. I pay somebody to, for I'm like, I don't know how to do any of the digital computer stuff. Like, you do that.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of challenged the same way, to be honest with you. I don't quite have it down, you know, or at least I can't do it as well and as fast as I would like, that's for sure. So, Jackie Jolie, Light Shapes Life. As we get started, I'll just reference to people. Check out it is light shape, it's lightshapes.life. So a little bit of an odd domain. You may not have heard of that one before, some people. Lightshapes.life. So that's a great site to check out while we're chatting because a lot of things that we'll be talking about and referencing, she does have under her resources tab, which is quite elaborate. And so Jackie completely transformed her health by fully embracing the quantum health paradigm and the science behind getting your light life right. She now teaches others how to do the same. And at her site, you'll also see, and what is that called? It is under resources. Quantum Biology Collective. And that's definitely something you might want to check out while we're chatting because the type of health, well-being that we're talking about, there are practitioners who incorporate that. So that's kind of encouraging to anybody who's looking for help with things. There are practitioners that have this same mindset. So you are not alone out there. So, Jackie, thanks for being on. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I first heard you in Higher Side Chats, and I cannot outdo his intro, so I'm just going to leave it to you. I can't even approach
That's
that.
okay. Greg does have like the best intros. I'm always excited for each interview that he has, like what kind of word and verbiage he's going to use to put together. And he's definitely talented in that aspect. So that's okay. I wouldn't attempt to, that either. So thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm Jackie Jolie. I'm a certified quantum health coach through the Quantum Biology Collective platform. And that is a really great platform to get started after you hear some of the content that we talk about today. Because I do like to start out prefacing, I'm not a doctor. This information is purely for educational purposes only. And if you are wanting to find a quantum healer slash practitioner that are doctors, you can find all of that information through the Quantum Biology Collective. They've got a great listing there with videos and all of that. A little bit about myself and kind of how I got into all of this information. I actually work on horses for a living. That's my main job. And I've always followed a more holistic approach to health, exercise, a good, healthy protein-based diet, not a lot of chemicals in the house or in the food systems that I eat, and just doing stuff outside and using more like supplements and vitamins. Kind of thought I was rather, quote unquote, healthy compared to the typical modern American. But 3 years ago, I got Lyme disease from a tick and got some pretty bad symptoms, not as bad as some that you can come across. And I like to relate that to the fact that I was a little healthier than what I thought. And I wanted to heal the Lyme naturally because using even my doctor at the time, our regular allopathic medicinal system wants to put you on antibiotics for 3 months straight to heal Lyme. And I was 35 at the time, I'd probably had a couple of dosages of antibiotics my whole life and nothing longer than like a week. And really wasn't keen on doing that. I knew it would really blow through my gut and all the healthy microbiome. And I did some research, and there was a lot of people saying the antibiotics don't help with the Lyme. It's just going to come back with a vengeance. And so I asked my doctor again, well, what happens after the 3 months of antibiotics if I still have Lyme or still dealing with some symptoms? Oh, we just put you on 3 more months of antibiotics. And so I was like, okay, well, that system doesn't work. It should definitely work within 3 months of killing your gut. So I found Dr. Steven Buhner and I used his herbal protocols and I did kill the Lyme. However, after the Lyme disease, I still had a lot of bodily problems as far as like hormone levels were on the floor. I still had low libido. I was still pretty tired. I couldn't work out anymore without staying sore for days on end and just not recovering well. So obviously the Lyme and then even the treatment of the Lyme had really kind of run my body through the ringer. And I worked with a naturopath for a little while to kind of just help my immune system build back up. And his name is Jason Boyd, Boyd. He's online as well. He's wonderful. And he was kind of the first person to clue into me talking about a light life and being outside and being in the sun, that it's healthy for you. but it didn't really stick enough. Like, I was like, I work outside with horses, I ride horses, like, I'm outside, I'm healthy, like, I'm connected to the sun. I didn't really know the nuances of what exactly that meant, of how important light and the sun is and what time of day you're receiving it and how long, and are you covered with clothes or sunglasses, sunscreen. And so a good friend of mine at the time knew I was still really dealing with some symptoms from the Lyme being killed. And they turned me on to Dr. Jack Kruse's information, K-R-U-S-E. He's been one of the top pioneers for the last 15 to 20 years now, spreading information on quantum health, which the three pillars of quantum health are light, water, and magnetism. And he really had all the scientific information. He was a neurosurgeon, and he did deep dives into the science and understanding of how we're still connected to light and the natural spectrum outside and why it's so important and how we've gotten so far away from it. And he talks a lot about something called redox potential, which we can get into later. And it basically explained the fact that if I would have had my light life optimal and right, my redox potential would have been high, which means that I could have been bit by 20 ticks in a year and I should have never come down with Lyme disease because my body would have just been able to just handle it. And that's really the case of what our body should be able to handle when it gets interfered with toxins or bacteria or fungus or viruses or anything of the sort. It really should be able to recover rather well on its own. Our bodies have everything, nature and our bodies have everything that it needs to be vital and strong and energetic really until the day we die, should be, barring any type of like a crazy accident or something. Unfortunately, though, in our modern world, we're spending 93% of our time indoors now, and we're under artificial lighting all the time, especially at night. And it's really upsetting our circadian rhythm, and it's making us sicker, fatter, more depressed. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that is not being talked about in the modern healthcare world, especially because there's pills and prescriptions. And even on the more natural health-based side, we do talk about exercise, diet, and sleep, which are important. I'm not knocking those by any means. You do need those, but you won't need them as much if you get your light life right. And if you don't have your light life right, and you're still trying to be a perfectionist on the diet, exercise, and sleep, you're going to be kind of this hamster wheel running, and not always being optimal. And it's still going to catch up to you at some point in time. So that's kind of my story and how I got into it, and maybe a good introduction of what's currently going on and why we need to do this deep dive of sharing this information about light and why we need to get back to connecting with nature, the natural spectrum of light, and making our nights dark.
Yeah, because so many people are willing to put so much effort into their health. They'll go on, they'll eat, I would say, not extremes, but they'll go like full paleo or they're vegan. As far as exercise, you know, I know many people who exercise a little and then people who exercise a phenomenal amount and in different ways, etc. So there seems to be, for those who are interested, no lack of effort. And it's very discouraging when you see people not really getting the optimum health they could have and they're putting so much effort into it. The other night, I went to Petco to get some pet stuff, you know, and it was after work, probably 7 or so at night. And there were people there for a little training class, you know, train your dog to walk in a circle with a leash and all. And they looked like death. These were all slightly younger people, you know, probably 30s, 20s, you know, something like that. But all of them, you could tell it was after work, it was early evening, and they were just dragging so hard. And I thought that really is the state that so many people are in, and the state that you were in after you recovered from Lyme and you were like, wait a second, I'm not exactly where I think I should be. That's probably the state that most people are in, unfortunately. That's the reality of it. So yeah, I really wanted to help people out with their light life because it's an incredible missing link right now. And a quick story as we get started. I listened to you, we listened to you on Higher Side Chats, and that was a great one. We're subscribers, so we had both hours, and we were traveling across the country on the 40, and we left really early to get back on the road before sunup. So the sun was just beginning to rise. We could see it in the rearview mirror. We were driving west, and we thought, you know what, let's just pull over and get this nice rest stop, and let's just spend some time in the sun, because gosh, we're stuck in this car all day. Let's get the morning sun. And that was right after listening to your podcast, with Higher Side Chats. And literally when we pulled out of the rest stop, just gosh, after, you know, a matter of minutes after we pulled out, a truck actually had just crossed lanes of the highway and flipped over on its side and slid down the highway going the wrong way. Oh, and actually, yeah. And I don't know if it would have been exact, but if we hadn't pulled over, we were kind of thinking about it. We were like, we'd have been right exactly where that truck was, you know?
That was not the story that I was expecting, but I still love it.
We would have been really close to it. We would have been, you know, because it was just in front of us and we went, oh my gosh, that was just a difference, you know? Oh my heavens. So maybe we'd have just missed it. Who knows? But that's the thing. There's something about, you know, being, having the right life, having the right health, having the right, you know, body, mind, and spirit, everything aligned, then your intuition works, you're in sync with the universe, and you just happen to pull over and do some sun salutations with the dawn when you should be, when you were scheduled to get run over by a truck. But see, you're going to be ahead of the game. So that all this is very important stuff on so many levels.
The spiritual component of it, I really wasn't expecting. I listened to Greg, obviously, and definitely a, you know, tinfoil hat wearer for sure, and on the conspiracy side. But I've come a long way through religion and spirituality from a childhood, and that's a whole different podcast interview.
Yeah.
But it wasn't something that I was expecting with getting into a light life, being better, of course, physically and mentally. I'm on fire, and I was hoping for that and expecting that, and that has happened. But the way that I am now connected to my intuition, which would technically be your higher self, and just getting downloads and getting messages, and then these connections that happen throughout life since then of the different people and things that have come into my life, it's abundance. It's truly abundance. And I'm just so grateful. And of course, now at sunrise, that is my kind of mantra or habit, is I walk my dogs at sunrise and I just do a gratitude meditation of just thanking, you know, the universe and God for my life and for all of this coming into my life, and then sending out love and light to all of my people in my life, family, friends, and all of that. And I just think that does come around full circle. The nice thing that people don't realize too, once you get your light life optimal, everything else that you do, whether it's supplements, exercise, sleep, vitamins, a holistic therapy routine or a meditation routine, everything's effect is going to be tenfold just by changing your light life, which didn't cost you anything extra in money. Might be a little bit costing in time and some lifestyle changes, but they're so minimal. And once you get into it and you start experiencing those things, you fall in love with it anyways. And so you just want to continue doing it. So the abundance is tenfold from it. It's amazing.
Yeah. And we can always fold it in. We can always incorporate things. Like a person might have their Stairmaster. Well, they just roll it out in the backyard and do it.
For their deck. Absolutely. There's times you can include light all the time. I was just telling an interview yesterday, like, once you learn this information, you start seeing light in everything, like I do for sure. And if you just think about anything that you would do inside, reading a book, Stairmaster, treadmill, walking, just go do it outside, no matter the temperature, no matter the weather. I mean, unless you're having like a hurricane or something, just go do it outside and you're going to get so much benefits from all of it. You know, yesterday was actually for a personal story. I've had a lot of stuff going on in life and things have just kind of been a little busy and overwhelming. And I happened to have yesterday off because I had a bunch of podcast interviews throughout the day scheduled. And it was just so nice to be home. And I mowed the lawn and I stayed outside all day long. And like, now I'm just completely reset, like just feel, you know, chill as a cucumber and like ready to take on life again. When like 2 days prior, I was kind of running around like with my head cut off, you know, the light is just, it's everything that you need. It will provide you with everything.
Yeah. And as you mentioned in your presentation that I of course looked through, is that, you know, historically light, sunlight itself was a therapeutic cure. It was seen as a therapy, which you'd probably more naturally be in light at that time anyway. But like for sanitizing water, you know, if all else fails, one of the things you learn in survival school is you can just take your plastic bottle and fill it with water, leave it in the sun for like 30 minutes. And in general, that does purify water to a great extent. Yeah. And so you think of that power. And so, yeah, like, what are some of the, I have a lot of questions to ask, and we're going to get through all of it. We'll just keep rocking. Like, so what are some of those practices that were common that now we just don't do? Just things that are so simple as far as, what are some of the therapies or some of the things that would be treated with light that we actually just do not do anymore?
Yeah, well, the term was considered heliotherapy, was the actual term that was quoted for healing by the sun or solar therapy. And really, if you even rewinded back to ancient civilizations, which we get into that in my seminars and programs, you know, all of our previous civilizations and ancestors, they revered and even worshiped the sun and even made sacrifices to the sun. And I believe they knew that the sun healed things and also brought life to everything that was surrounding them in nature, because we did used to live, work, breathe, reproduce, and everything outside. When you could get into more modern times, even here in the United States, after we were civilized here, we had some doctors back in the 30s, and some of them even got the Nobel Prize, like Fenson got the Nobel Prize. Rolier was one of the first ones to establish solariums, which was a solar hospital. So we actually used to have hospitals that would have sun decks on the top, and also like sun patios that went around the hospitals. There's pictures and all of this on the internet.
Oh, wow.
And they would use that for like war victims that would come in with wounds or sicknesses. They were using it for scurvy, for polio, for tuberculosis. And sometimes you even had somebody that was so sick, they actually couldn't be exposed to the full sun right away. So you would see pictures of them like rolling them out onto the patio and just like exposing their feet for a week. And then the next week they would go up to their knees until they could get them fully exposed. When the Spanish flu was around, they were putting people outside. Whether they were wearing masks or not, they were going outside to heal people of the flu, of the Spanish flu. And even when we think of what we just went through for 2 years with COVID, and you think about, you know, sanitizing water out in the sun, you know, our medical community was even saying you can put your masks, you know, outside on a clothesline, you know, to disinfect it. But why aren't we telling people to go outside and be in the sun then? And so it's just very interesting how we got really far away to even now the sun is demonized, you know, it causes cancer and you can't be out in it and don't do this. But it was never doing that to anybody before. And we still have hunter-gatherer tribes right now. There's not many, but in Africa, Saudi Arabia, and they live, breathe, work, reproduce outside. They don't get any of the modern diseases that we have. They don't get cavities. They don't even brush their teeth. They only eat a meat-based diet and they never get skin cancer. So there's a lot of stuff there that's not adding up. And if we want to dive down into kind of what happened as far as us using therapies and then not using them now, I'm sure if your crowd knows about like the Rockefeller family. There was the Flexner Report back in the 50s. Yes. And that really just got rid of all of our natural remedies that we were using, whether from the Native Americans or that we brought over from England, of using tinctures and alchemy and using more natural treatments, you know, chiropractic, massage, body work, and heliotherapy. And there was a couple of reasons for that. Rockefeller was a big oil magnate. And so you want to use that oil and that petroleum for as many things as you possibly could. And all of our pharmaceuticals nowadays, and even a lot of supplements and vitamins, they're all petroleum based. Mm-hmm. Our sunscreen is petroleum based. And so there was a lot of money to be made there. And then the more money, obviously, that we get, there's more control. And with getting rid of all the natural healthcare, and he knew he could use petroleum based pharmaceuticals, he allowed the government and lobbied the government to be able to open up medicine and doctor schools and hospitals. And went into the university programs, and they're what pay for the research and the medical books and everything that the doctors use to learn about a symptom, and then treating that symptom with a pill that then gives you other symptoms that you then get another pill for. And it's a vicious cycle to where it's really turned into sick care nowadays, when really, if we connected back to nature and got outside, we could really reverse a lot of that. And things that can be used for light, there's so many, and we can take deep dives into that, into my presentations as well. But for example, you probably saw on my slide that we all know, like, cardiovascular disease and cancer are our two top killers in the States. We also have tons of people that deal with diabetes. Like, I think, I think the statistics now are we're at like 50% of Americans are either diabetic or pre-diabetic. The number's pretty high in children now too, which to have a diabetic and overweight child is just completely ridiculous, like completely uncalled for. We're also dealing with higher rates of depression and suicide in children and adults. People that deal with blood pressure and are put on statins, which have really bad side effects. So all of those issues are things that we didn't have 50 or 60 years ago or even 100 years ago. And we were outdoors more and we didn't have an artificial lit life. And that's really the only big major change that we've had happen in our modern life compared to, yes, we are bombarded by more toxins and poisons in our food and water. And that does need to change as well. But if our body was already stronger, that redox potential, by tying back into light and nature, we would be able to handle a lot more of those things that come into contact with us. And so high blood pressure, the sun naturally lowers your blood pressure by being outside and releases nitric oxide. You would never need a medication for it. High cholesterol, which leads to heart damage and heart issues, right? Mm-hmm. You need cholesterol in your system to be able to make vitamin D, but you also need the blue light and UVB rays in the middle of the day to take out that cholesterol in your system and make it into vitamin D. So if you have a modern American who's now eating a meat-based diet, which is also demonized, but it's actually the healthiest diet you could eat, but you're mm-hmm. staying indoors under artificial light, yes, your arteries are going to clog up and you're going to have heart issues. But if you spent time outside and exercised, you're going to be just fine and you're not going to have high cholesterol. Also, on top of that, doesn't really have to do with light, but who says what is high cholesterol? So now yes. pharma companies have come in and they pay for the research to change the numbers to different things. Our farmers, like our ancestors of only maybe one or two generations ago that were farmers, they were eating lard and butter and eggs and steaks. And they never had heart issues or blood pressure issues, but they were outside sweating and working and being under the sun, probably not wearing a ton of sunscreen at that point yet because it wasn't a big mainstream product yet. And they didn't have those issues. And they had cholesterol levels of like 300 to 400 milligrams. Well, now the doctors and big pharma, the patients are below 200 for most people. Women that are all, if you are below 200 for your LDL, you cannot make sexual hormones. So we also have issues with autoimmune diseases and infertility and hormone imbalance in both men and women, but women get hit even harder because we have so much fluctuation of hormones in our body. So they're telling us that we need to lower our cholesterol and not eat eggs and not eat steak and not eat bacon. Like, they don't want us to have any fun. They want us to eat bugs, you know?
Yeah, crickets.
Yeah. And if people realize that just by being outside, it will help you take care of that cholesterol, and you need that cholesterol, one, to make vitamin D, to help make your sex hormones, to help your brain function. Our brain literally runs off of fat, and they've made us so scared of fat, and it's not the case. I kind of jumped on a little bit of a soapbox there by your
question. No, it's good. It's good. Yeah.
So many conditions that we're affected with now in our modern life, and it all has to tie back to our fake light life that we live in right now. And if you fix that, a lot of things are going to go away, and you don't have to worry about pounding yourself in the gym all day, every day for 7 days a week, or being the most perfect on your diet to where you don't eat anything, you know, fun, or thinking that you got to try all these different trends. You don't have to spend tons of money on supplements. I was spending $5,000 a year for like four or 5 years out of my own pocket, not health insurance, to try to take the natural path. And my, you know, counter in my kitchen was full of bottles and supplements and vitamins. Now I have electrolytes and magnesium, which are cheap and great. And like, I don't spend any money on my health, and it's wonderful. So all of that information is things that people can get, obviously, by coming to my seminar and webinars, and we can take deeper dives into the science. But I hope that answered the question a little bit as far as some conditions that can be helped. Oh, I would like to touch in on like mental health a little bit too, because
that's a big one. It's a big one. Yeah.
It just breaks my heart. I know you saw on probably one of the statistics when I was looking up statistics for just modern conditions that Americans anyways are dealing with. There was one that stated, I think it was 47% of people are too tired to function. So just like you saw the people training their dogs, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's so sad. And us as human beings, we did not come to this planet to be too tired to function and be slaving away at a job that you're replaceable at any moment. And to be spending all your money on trying all these things and feel hopeless, whether you went allopathic with doctors or you even went the natural route, they're actually very parallel now, because we just take a symptom and we say, okay, there's either a pharmaceutical chemical pill or there's some type of healthy herb or vitamin. And yes, I'm not saying that you never need either one. There are times where you may need those things to give your body a boost. But the whole point of when pharmaceuticals were created, and even vitamins and plants and herbs and things, it's needed for that initial boost of whatever you might have going on in your body. And then you're not supposed to be on it for the rest of your life, because too much of even a good thing can turn into a bad thing and be toxic for the body. And that's something we have to remember, and that we have to know that that's a paradigm that needs to change.
Yeah.
Anyway, so on the mental health side, you know, obviously we have kids that are being affected with suicide and depression even more. We're seeing people that are too tired to function, which is just a really, really sad state to think about. And we see it all day long. If you walk out into the, you know, majority public anywhere in a city or Walmart or store, like, people just don't look healthy, and
everyone's limping. You know, everybody's limping.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they don't have a pathway of either trying all the things or they give up. Even when you said there's so many people that give effort, yes, there are, but there's a lot of people that have just given up because our allopathic system just makes it normalized. Oh, well, your eyesight's bad at 18. We've got glasses for that. Not why is your eyesight going bad at 18? Your eyesight should never go bad and need glasses ever, unless an accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with hormones. There's a girl actually in my doctor's office that's 26 years old, and she's been diagnosed as premenopausal, and she's on hormone replacements at 26. Like, completely unnecessary, completely ridiculous. And you need to be finding the root cause to that, because that woman is going to have major issues when she's 40. She's going to have cancer. She's going to have autoimmune diseases. So going back to mental health, because all of those things happen, and it makes people get depressed and anxious and all of that as well. I'm sure most people know, if you're in the health world at all, that there's a direct connection with the gut to the brain. It's called the gut-brain axis. A lot of times the gut gets called the second brain. Although for every one message that the brain sends the gut sends back 9 to the brain. So I kind of think like the gut's got a little bit more of a boss hat than what we really give it credit for. So there's so many functions that happen in the gut. Your immune system is built there. So your T cells for your immune system to be able to fight off viruses and everything is built there. Your sexual hormones are also built there. So your testosterone, progesterone, pregnenolone, estrogen are also made in your gut. Your microbiome, which we're all learning is so important with antibiotics and probiotics, and you need those good bacteria to be able to digest food, also help the immune system. It's also built in your gut. But also in your gut, your feel-good hormones are made there. So your serotonin and your dopamine, the things that make you feel good about life and being happy and high on life, are made in the gut. So there's so much going on there. How many times do you think somebody's gut has seen the sun? Probably 3 times a year when they might take a beach vacation, maybe, and then it's slathered with sunscreen.
Yeah.
So everything in the body, once we kind of get to some of this information in my seminars and even today, it's all affected by light, because our light sets our circadian rhythms, which is our clocks that are in our body. And everything in every system, respiratory, cardiovascular, digestive, reproductive, all of them all work on clocks. And you want your clocks on time, right? Just like the rest of our lives. Like, everything should be in sync and working on time. Just like a car, it's got a timing belt and it's got certain things that everything runs on time. You get little niches and problems in those systems, and over time, the body, the car, is always trying to catch up. And eventually, it's going to catch up, but it's going to just blow. The engine's going to blow, or a tire's going to come off, a belt's going to come loose. And so the body's the same way. These small symptoms that we get initially, you know, eyesight's not so great, or I'm having some gut digestion issues or constipation, I'm not getting my periods as frequently. Our regular medicinal system wants to normalize that and just say, oh, you're getting older. Oh, you're a female. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're just working too hard, which stress definitely plays a role. But we normalize it instead of saying, where is that initially coming from? Why aren't our doctors asking us, do you spend any time outside? What's your diet like? Do you exercise? How are you sleeping? No, here's a pill. Here's a pill. Here's a pill. And so that just destroys that gut system, especially with as much antibiotics as we are getting exposed to. And so when all those systems get out of sync, which is currently happening with our modern artificial lit life, then the body's always trying to catch up and it's flipped. So then our hormones and all of it gets out of whack. And that starts in the gut, actually. The gut is number one. And from there, your cortisol spikes and the cortisol goes out of whack. And then it's your thyroid, which is your adrenal glands, which give you energy. And then after that, it's your hormones. And so if there's already a woman or a man listening to this phone call and you have been diagnosed with hormonal issues, you got to go all the way back to the gut and heal the gut. And the best way to heal your systems is to get your circadian rhythms back in check. And the best way to do that is to get your light life right. And the best way to get your light life right is to see the sunrise, get light throughout the day, and make your nights dark.
Yeah, that's the thing I was curious about, of course, would be for a person working on their light life, you know, what is their daily routine look like? And because, yeah, there was a time that we were healthy. And when I think about the idea of the neo-Aboriginal, this great, I love that term. Arthur Haynes, I believe, he coined that, the neo-Aboriginal. And I think he also came up with like Homo fragilis or something like that. Like
we're beginning the wrong scientific word.
Like, yeah, like Homo fragilis domesticus or something like that. So
that's three times fast.
Yeah, it's not easy. And so the thing is, we actually, it's kind of an aspect of just being domesticated. You know, we're not animals out in the field anymore. We're living in our environment is not even as true to nature as an animal is in a zoo at this point. You know, we're very, very removed from important things. So, you know, for the individual to get started on this, you know, what does a proper light life day kind of look like? If a person said, okay, I'm going to start today, well, what should their timing be? Because, and I also would just mention sleep. That is a huge issue, especially over the last 2 years. There's so many people who are plagued, but they just cannot sleep, or they wake up in the middle of the night. That's a huge one too, along with depression. I think mental health, I think some of that stems from people, they can't sleep anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, yeah,
I'll the schedule. Box again.
Yeah.
Because everybody, now, one thing I do like to preface, you know, everybody is a N equals one, which just basically kind of means, even though we're all humanoids, we do have our different DNA and genetics that come from different environments, how we were raised, what our genetics from the family were. However, you can change a lot of that by your environment and what you do for your life. But everybody is going to be a little bit different. Also, just based on the fact of where your location is in the world, because the light spectrum changes throughout the day from sunrise to sunset every day, but it also changes through the season. And so, for example, all of us in the northern latitude is about to go into fall and winter. So our light life is getting a little shorter as far as getting our UVA and our UVB rays. If you're up north somewhere like, you know, Montana or Indiana, Ohio, anything like that, you've got probably until about the end of October, first part of November, and your UV light is going to be gone for 4 months. You're not going to be able to get any light to get vitamin D, make your sexual hormones. You're going to be without. Now, it doesn't mean that you're still not going to get infrared and red light, which is still very healing. And you also are still going to need the codes from the light to know what time of day it is throughout the day. And that's still the most important part. There's other biohacks that people can do when they live somewhere with a true winter. And I'll kind of leave that for maybe if somebody wants to come to my seminar or something and we get real specific. In general, you're just going to need to know that your eyes and your skin are basically a big solar panel, and it needs that information from the light codes that come from our sun throughout the whole day to tell your body what time of day it is, right? And so to get started for anybody, no matter where they live, I'm always going to hound number one, number two, and number three. Sunrise, sunrise, sunrise. Like the sunrise is the most important integral part of changing your light life and getting your circadian rhythms in sync, because it's the best way to tell your body, hey, it's morning. We need to get up. We need to start making our cortisol, our blood sugar, our adrenaline, our sex hormones to get going for the day. Because when we used to live outside, we needed to go hunt a mammal or build a village or make babies or deliver a baby or something. We needed all that going. Now we still need all that in our modern life, especially because we're surrounded by environmental toxins and stress, and we have children and houses and things to do. So the best way to do that is to get up and see the sunrise to get all of that energy going. The next part of that is your body still needs signals and codes from the sun for the rest of the day as well. You need that bright light in the middle of the day that has the UVA and the UVB. That's where your vitamin D is made. It's where your sex hormones are produced. It's where you need bright light during the day to tell your body that it's daytime, so that then when the sunset comes, your body can actually click on melatonin production and shut off cortisol production. So you need the cortisol for during the day to have energy and do stuff and build stuff and be there. And then at night to be able to sleep, you need cortisol to go away and you need melatonin to kick in to start making you tired. And so that also when you sleep, that hormone melatonin helps you fight cancer, reproduce and regenerate, like beat up and old toxic cells, digest food, regenerate your body, anti-aging, and sleep well and get that good resting sleep to where you wake up rested and ready to go for the next day. And so the best ways to do that is sunrise, expose yourself throughout the day a couple of times to the outside light. And then the other second most important, like integral part, is to then make your nights dark. And that's something that we haven't been doing for quite some time now, especially in our most modern world with tech screens. So we come home and we have LED and fluorescent light bulbs in our house now because they're energy efficient. They only emit a blue light wavelength along with all of our tech screens. So like your phone, your laptop, your iWatch, the iPads, all of them, they all emit only a blue light wavelength. And we can kind of get into the specifics of what that means, but what the blue light wavelength does is it tells your body that it's like the middle of the day, because in the natural light spectrum outside, when the UVA and the UVB rays come out in the middle of the day, you are getting a large burst of blue light wavelength at that time. You need that to be able to build the vitamin D and the hormones and things that I was talking about earlier, help with the cholesterol, help with the blood pressure. But when you're outside, you don't have, you never have blue light wavelengths by themselves. You have, I brought a little hotel prop. I always use this at my talks. And so it's Roy G. Biv, our rainbow, right? And we learned this in school. And so this is our full light spectrum that we have all day long for the most part. In the morning at sunrise and sunset, you only have these three colors. You have red, orange, and yellow, which are like super healing. If people know about infrared saunas or lasers that they use on their face and different things like that, we get into that in the talks too. This is super healing. It helps you build your own natural SPF that we call a solar callus, to be able to help your skin protect itself when all those lighter, more intense light waves come through in the middle of the day. And so depending on where you are located, again, the middle of the day, you're going to get all of these colors that come through. And so when you get the blue light that comes through in the outside environment, you're actually having all the colors. And so these red and orange help still protect you from straight blue light. When we get blue light by itself, through tech screens, through LED and fluorescent light bulbs, a tanning bed, for example, this is where it's harmful because you're only getting the blue light directly. And when we look at it at night, or we're under the lights at night, this is telling your body that it's the middle of the day, 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when it's really like 8 p.m. and you should be getting tired, right? And this literally is what's causing people to get diabetic, no matter what they've eaten, have insomnia, not dream, and have sleeping issues, get cancer and get autoimmune diseases, because your body can't get the melatonin to run what we like to call the dishwasher at night, where it fights cancer cells, rebuilds cells, anti-aging regeneration programs. And this is where the problems are coming in, because we're around artificial light all day and all night. And so our circadian rhythms are out of sync, which allows all of our systems in our body to be out of sync. And that's where you get chaos. And all chaos is inflammation. And everybody at this point knows, because even the doctors say it, chronic inflammation leads to disease and leads to cancer and leads to death. And so we have to change that program by changing the light life. It's the only way. For like a protocol for somebody, sunrise first thing in the morning, getting light throughout the day, and then you have to make your nights dark. And there's different ways that you can do this. And again, it's going to look different for everybody. But like, for example, what I do every day, I wake up, I don't look at my phone, I don't turn on any lights in my house. The first thing I'm doing is going outside with my bare feet on the ground to ground and get electrons. I'm seeing the sunrise come up. Now, I don't have a horizon shot, because that's a big question people will ask. You don't have to have a horizon shot. The wonderful thing about light is it expands. Those photons expand. So just getting the light at that morning time will affect your eyes and your body. As far as dosages are concerned, it's going to be different for everybody. If somebody's not really sick or diagnosed with something, you're going to be able to do less time, or if you're rushed, it's not going to be as big of a deal, 15, 20, 30 minutes. And then go about your day. And the same thing when you get light throughout the day, 15, 20, 30 minute breaks from work or whatever, go outside. If you are sick, if you are diagnosed with something, you're going to need a lot more light and you're going to have to schedule it into your life. And working with somebody like me or a practitioner is what I would recommend doing by that, by going to the website Quantum Biology Collective and finding a doctor or practitioner to work with. But I usually get 20, 30 minutes walking the dog, doing my gratitude and meditation. I'll come back home. Now for me, I work outside with horses. So it's very easy for me to get out and get some of that daytime lighting. If somebody works in a traditional office setting, make sure that you go out and you take sun breaks, just like somebody that takes a smoking break or a walking break. Like, get out and take 15, 20 minutes to get some sunshine, go back into the office and go back and do it again. And then again, at sunset, when you come home, or if you're at a, you know, baseball practice or something for your kids, just make sure that you're outside getting those signals of like, hey, the sun is setting, it's going to start becoming dark. That will allow your body to say, we need to shut down cortisol and blood sugar and start making melatonin and tired hormones to get the body to rest and regenerate. And then when you get home and the sun has set, you need to make your nights dark. So for me, all of my light bulbs in my house, I have already transferred over to incandescent bulbs. They only put off a red and an orange wavelength. And those wavelengths don't interrupt your circadian rhythm. It's just like our ancestors that had fire. They would use fire at night. It doesn't disrupt the circadian rhythms, and it's healing. So a fireplace, candles, incandescent bulbs. I have a headlamp that has like a red bulb option on it. And so I'll use that for reading.
Okay.
Cool. I also have a red and infrared light therapy panel that I use for therapy on my body, but also sometimes if I have people over or if I need really like bright light for something that I'm doing, I'll have that on as well. And then as far as if I'm needing to use any tech screens at night, there are also biohacks that you can do. So like for the laptops, there's a company called Iris, I-R-I-S, and it's like a $40 one-time charge. It has a program that will run your screen throughout the day. The screen color will change according to what time of day it is in your location. So by nighttime for everybody, though, the screen will be red. It'll take out all of the blue. For the cell phones, there's actually a free shortcut that you can get videos from on YouTube, depending on whatever your model and type of phone is, Android or iPhone. And you can just type in like shortcut to turn screen red for iPhone 12, 8, 13, or Android, whatever. And it will teach you a shortcut to where like you can press the, like for mine, I have an iPhone 8, so it's old, but I can touch my home screen 3 times and it will turn the screen red. And that's free.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
And so that's a great hack for at night. And then for the TV, you can either like cover it with some like red cellophane paper. I know people that do that if they don't want to wear glasses. Or you can get blue blocking glasses to protect yourself, even when you want to use the laptop, phone, TV, iWatch, or whatever. Now, a caveat with that, there's some blue blocking glasses that are being sold in like mainstream stores, and the lens is still clear. Those are bullshit. Like, don't spend your money on those. They don't block anything. Or they might block 10%, but you don't want any blue light at night at all. It will interrupt your circadian rhythms. The lenses need to be orange or red. And on my website, on the resources, I have like 3 or 4 reputable companies that sell blue blocking glasses with some discount codes. And you can get some of those and use those at night, use them when you're traveling. The other caveat with getting the light during the day, at sunrise, throughout the day, and at sunset, no sunglasses, no contacts, no sunscreen. Least amount of clothing possible for where you live.
Yeah.
Because we are solar panels. And so you don't want to block that with sunglasses or contacts that block rays of UVB and UVA or the red wavelengths. Clothing does the same unless it's see-through clothing or very, very transparent. And windows, all of our glass now in our cars and our houses are energy efficient. So they block the red and infrared wavelengths that you need for during the day. So if you are stuck inside at sunrise, moms with kids making breakfast or something, open your windows.
Yeah.
It's not optimal, but it will still get that light in that your eyes at least need to see for that time of day. And just make sure maybe on the weekends you spend more time out. I know I have moms that are like, well, it's sunrise, but I'm rushing the kids off to school and this and that. Roll down your windows and open your sunroof. That light is still going to come in and help your eyes realize what time of day it is. And it needs to be that before any artificial light, because again, if you only see blue light, it's going to hurry up and tell your body that it's noon, and your body's going to get flushed with blood sugar and cortisol rising, which makes you fatter, leads to diabetic issues, but also leads to like hypertension and anxiety, because you don't need to have that huge rush of those hormones first thing in the morning. It's supposed to be a very gradual hour by hour, just like how the sun changes outside by hour by hour.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's perfect. Well, I love the IRIS program, and that really does work. I use that. And I find that, I'm sorry about that. Like in the evenings around the house now, I'll wear blue blocker glasses just in case. Just in case I see something. Ah, well, you know, you just put them on, you forget that the world's a little bit orange or red, you know.
Yeah, and you then,
yeah, because the next thing you know, you might look at your phone. Oh, what was that? And you go, oh, crap, you know. And that's one thing. Light bulbs really get me these days, because the old school incandescent bulb, just, you know, a piece of tungsten steel wound up and power and glowing, it's so shunned now and so out of style. If you go to Home Depot, if you go to wherever, you'll find that they can be hard to find. You have to like look at the bottom shelf and look around and then make sure it's really incandescent. And I find that those are beautiful, especially if you have a dimmer. So you don't have to have any more light than you actually have to. Just need a little bit of light in the room so you don't fall over things. It's really perfect. Yeah. And what do you think of the full spectrum bulbs? Are they kind of any benefit or just incandescent?
That's kind of a new technology that is coming around. And I am happy to see it, because, of course, when we have these conversations, most people are not going to become primal and go start living and being outside 24/7, right? That would be wonderful, but it's not going to happen. Our cell phones are not going away. Our cell phone towers are not going away. The radiation is not going away.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to find our ways to now create a healthy light life and quantum healing lifestyle, even around this modern world, and however far you want to take it on the spectrum, right? I mean, I'm pretty weird on that scale, but not everybody's going to go there. So if we're not getting rid of light bulbs, or if you're not going to be able to convince your company or your school to change the light bulbs in the building, there's obviously going to be other ways to help. And you wouldn't want to necessarily, because some people will hear this and they'll go, okay, well, I work in a cubicle all day long and LEDs are bad for me, so I should just make my office dark. Well, actually, that's not what you want either, because our body's used to having very bright light outside all day long. The unfortunate thing is with the LEDs and the fluorescents, it's only a blue light wavelength. So now that companies are starting to try to produce full spectrum light bulbs, I'm really happy to hear this, because it is trying to mimic all of the wavelengths that you would get outside in a light bulb. Now, you are never going to be able to replace the power of the sun. Nobody's ever going to be able to do that. So I still want you going outside. I still want you getting those sun breaks. But using the modern technology of the full spectrum light bulbs is going to be a great thing if they're done well. So where I would recommend there is do a little bit of your own research and just look at the company. How long have they been around? Do they really understand light? Yeah. Are they really just selling light bulbs? Like if it was a GE full spectrum light bulb, I don't know. But there's a company that is on my resources page, and they're called Block Blue Light. They're in Australia. And they provide full spectrum light bulbs. They've done a ton of research. I have their blue blocking glasses for at night. I just love them. They're so cool. And so that would be a cool company to start with, and just get some for maybe your office or your house, because if you do know you're going to be inside one day or 5 days of the week working, it would probably be better to try to have that full spectrum light bulb on instead of an LED or fluorescence, but then still make sure you're going outside and getting some of that light. And where that technology is going to help also is people like in Washington State or in the Midwest during the winter, or people that live in the UK, in England, you know, they have really gray days or wintry days, and you can't always get bright light. And so I do think the technology that's coming through with light bulbs like that is going to be helpful, but it's a new technology. So just make sure that you do your research. I don't know if I'd buy them from Lowe's. I'd probably go online and try to find some different companies and just see what the research and production is there. And Block Blue Light stuff is really great. So maybe that's where somebody starts.
Yeah, that's definitely, I think I have one of their bulbs and I like it. I used it when I was in an office. I had my fluorescence up there. Couldn't do much about that, but I had my big, you know, nice blue blocker bulb going, had my, you know, glasses on, and life was pretty good. No, in Seattle, where I lived for quite a while, that would become really an issue, because sometimes you'll get a year where the summer, like the 3 weeks you have a summer, it might just happen to rain. And so you could go, you know, 16 months without sunshine. It's crazy. And Yeah, the sad lamps became quite the thing there, because you'd have them on a timer and it would come up like the sun, and it would actually had a tremendous effect, because you can start getting pretty, I wouldn't say depressed, but just crazy
living there. Yeah, well, I used to live in Kentucky, and granted, the winters actually aren't bad there as far as like ice and snow and all that, but it's in the Midwest, so you would have 4 months of just straight gray skies all day, every day. And I didn't know anything about light back then, but I was a miserable person in the winter. I mean, I didn't really like cold weather anyways, but I was a miserable person for those 4 months. And I'm like, now that I know everything I know, it makes so much sense.
So much more sense.
I really feel for people that live in those areas, because it doesn't give you a ton of option, and you're gonna have to work harder, number one, at getting as much bright light and UV rays during the spring, summer, and fall as you can, because you want to build up that vitamin D storage and get all that light storage for the winter time. And then unfortunately, in the winters, even for me here in Louisiana, even though we get UV year round, you're going to have to get that cold exposure. That's the other side of the story, where people that do live in areas that don't get UV through the winter, you're going to have to get cold exposure. And so you're going to have to just get outside and have some fun, whatever you can do in the cold, and get cold, because that's what's going to key your mitochondria to start functioning higher and burn and metabolism and sleep well and all of that. So,
oh yeah. Well, and when it comes to bulbs, like one last little thing on bulbs is, if a person doesn't have a lot of money, some of the blue, some of the full spectrum bulbs are a little bit pricey, but if you can at least go to that, you know, bottom shelf at Lowe's, where they just have the old school light bulbs, they still do exist. And that is definitely better than anything that's LED or fluorescent. So that,
yeah. You know. And I mean, for nighttime stuff, you can go as cheap as candles, a fire.
Yes.
And honestly, at night, even if you don't want to do the incandescent bulbs, now I can't even find those in my local Home Depots or Lowe's. I have to get them online on Amazon. And the United States is actually trying to ban them for the next, within the next couple of years, because of energy efficiency, which they're going to cost you a couple extra pennies. But that versus like your health and diabetes and cancer is way cheaper, I promise you. But even going and getting like the cheap party bulbs that are just red, like from a store or something, those are, I don't even know, like $2, $3, something like that. Even those are going to be okay to have at night, because it's red. And so it's not going to interfere with the circadian rhythms as much. And that would even be a cheaper option for somebody that's on a budget for something at night.
Oh, I like it. Perfect. So Iris, perfect. Everyone, I love that little program you mentioned. And also when it comes to the full quantum health life, you mentioned being barefoot, and that's a huge thing, because where did I put my little book there? Oh, it disappeared. Oh, that's so strange. Anyway, I was going to mention, wait a second. I know it's here. Hate to slow us down. Where'd that go?
You're fine. You might have a little fairy playing tricks on you.
Yeah. Wow. That's really far out. Okay. Well, definitely.
I like to do.
We do have some existential presences here for this chat. So as we know, so I was going to just reference a book by Aline Day McCusick. If you're familiar with her work, she's been doing the tuning fork work. She really took it very, very far. She really formalized it, and I had the book here. She actually has a big map of where she's kind of mapped the human biosphere, cool. You know, our natural energy, you know, torus basically. And she found that just like you can map, we kind of know now in the brain which part does what. You can actually see where we have what different parts of the biosphere mean, what they're holding and such like that. And when you actually do the work with the tuning forks, and I've been doing that for a while now, when you're moving the fork through somebody's field, when there's contention there, when there's something there, when the energy's not flowing, it'll just stop the fork. It's like you just put it in water or something. So we definitely are electric beings. And I've chatted with her, and we talk about, you know, cultivating that inner lightning bolt that we have, because it's really an essential thing to do so. So bulbs, that, and sleep. So when you get your sleep right, in general, it seems like that's going to really change a person's life. So you get their circadian rhythms correct, then they can sleep. And have you had any, people come to you after you've done some work with them, or after they've just gotten into this and you ran across them, as far as they had, let's say, like, you know, eye problems, and they did some sun gazing, they had, diabetes, or have you actually seen any reversals take place of people who had kind of, you know, some serious issues, and they began to get their light right life, and they had reversals that were somewhat astounding.
We're getting there. I don't use my certification to work with people in coaching with on their health one-on-one. So I don't have particular like patients per se.
That makes sense.
I always send somebody that's diagnosed. I really send them off to like the practitioner website. That's not what I use it for. I don't feel comfortable with years of experience and not being a doctor and not having naturopaths and stuff. I just don't want to have that responsibility. I want to just share the foundation on.
Oh yeah.
But even just sharing the basic foundations of seeing the sunrise, getting outside throughout the day a couple times, and making your nights dark. I have so many messages, especially since I started with THC and gotten more people into the information. You know, having energy throughout the day and not needing as much coffee, feeling like my 20-year-old self, you know, being more present for my kids, not having to wear my prescription glasses as much. So yes, there are people literally improving and changing their eyesight by changing their light life. What else? Testosterone and hormone levels have come up. Even my grandmother, who's 85 years old, obviously came from a much healthier generation. Her doctors put her on, I didn't know this until about 6 months ago, her doctors put her on high blood pressure and cholesterol medicine for no reason. Like, she didn't have, like, my grandma's 86 and retired and like a very happy mental kind of person. They just do it because it's like, oh, well, you're 80-something years old and the regular 80-something-year-old Americans need it, so we're going to put you on it. Well, she started having like some brain fog and her hair was falling out. Her skin was getting really dry and itchy. And I learned about it like in June of this past year. And I said, Grandma, like you don't need that stuff. Like, you know, and you need to get up and keep doing your sunrise walks, doing and get to the beach. And so she stopped taking them. And now I just saw her when I was there in Florida last week, and like her hair is like abundant and shiny and white and her skin looks good. And she says it's not itchy. It's not falling out anymore. She seemed to have like really better cognitive abilities at 87. You know, she still lives on her own, still drives. So happy to see that. My mom, who is a type 2 diabetic, her numbers have started getting a whole lot better by getting sunrise and changing the circadian rhythms. And so she's hoping to be able to get off of her medication. She's not quite there yet, but she hasn't needed it as much. And her numbers are starting to really get consistently good numbers and just feeling better. And then she has used a lot of like red light and infrared therapy things for like skin lesions, hair that was falling out. And so there's been improvements in that. But yeah, everybody that has messaged me so far only has seen better improvements by getting out and being with the light, even just being in a better mood or having more energy for the day, which I think everybody is begging and asking for.
Oh, they definitely are. Yeah. And sorry, I got thrown off by like those two books disappearing. It's the weirdest thing. Okay. So I was mentioning Bare Feet, you know.
And that's something that, I'll tell that story to return them by the time we're off the call.
Yeah. We'll see if they come back. So the barefoot. I find that grounding is something that really is missed these days. And where I really picked up on the importance of that, I think I intuitively always knew. I mean, I've heard about it a few times. But yeah, Elaine Day McCusick's work with the tuning forks and the biosphere of the body. And she really gets into really formalized the somewhat ethereal practice that made it very, very real. And she really gets into, you know, our connection, our electrical connection to the earth, our electrical connection to the magnetosphere, and of course the Schumann resonance. And so in a sense, the incredible importance to being barefoot and touching the earth. And just like many people don't have any light, which is great that we've gone over that, give people a basic idea, a template of here's some, you can start, do this, and you'll start to have some improvement, you know, start to see how it feels. But so many people, like I would just have to say it pisses me off the way that humanity all wears shoes. And it's like the most unhealthy thing you could ever do. I'm so used to being barefoot now that it's almost weird to wear shoes. I do like in general for like safety and the weird things you might step on and stuff like that. And the fact that this is Phoenix, Arizona, and you certain parts of the year, you will burn your feet on the grass. It's pretty crazy. So we get plenty of sun here, but yeah. Can you speak to that? Just the importance of being barefoot, because I think less people's feet see that is probably the one part of the body that like just never, ever sees the sun or helps to complete that beautiful circuit we have with earth and universe, basically.
Yeah. There's so much there. It's such a good question. Thank you for bringing it up, because I don't think even in the quantum space, we kind of like talk about grounding, but sometimes it can kind of just get thrown over or missed in the connection. Yes. First of all, we are electrical light beings before we're chemical beings.
Yes.
And in our modern world, we focus more on the chemical aspect of, we have hormones and amino acids and minerals and all these things. And we do. We are made up of those things, of course. But for all of those things to work, they're all working off of a frequency and a vibration, as is everything that's around us. Even this table that I'm sitting next to, or even anything that's living outside, we're all running off of a certain frequency, which is actually light. And that's why out of the three pillars of quantum health, light, water, and magnetism, everybody still has to learn the light part, because it's the foundation of that pyramid. It's what even feeds into the magnetism and the water part. And so the grounding and like our Wi-Fi and all that kind of fits into the magnetic pillar of quantum health. And we do discuss that in my talks and things too. Mm. But the grounding part's so important, because yes, again, we have this whole electrical system in our body that needs to work, just like a car has a battery hooked up, right? So our redox potential is our battery in our body. And it can either be super, super strong by getting lots of electrons and lots of electrical energy, which is electrons, or it can be really weak and inflamed by getting not enough electrons, which means we have too many protons in our cells, going back to biology class again, and we're weak and we're tired and we're sluggish and we don't move as fast. And so grounding, well, first of all, light, you get so many electrons from. So that is number one. You're going to get tons of electrons by getting your skin and your eye exposed to that sunlight throughout the day. But as a bonus, if you connect your feet to the ground, the earth does have what's called the Schumann resonance, and it runs at 7.83 hertz, I believe. And that's our healing frequency that the earth itself is actually putting off. And so our body is used to being connected to that when we used to live outside. And so by connecting our feet to the ground, and it can be pretty much anything natural. So it can be sand, dirt, grass, water of any sort, like a lake or ocean, and even some wood. Like if you have a patio with regular wood, you can actually still ground through that. The only things you won't really get grounding effects through is like asphalt and concrete. So you want to make sure that you're definitely in something natural with your feet. And you are going to already be getting free energy by standing your bare feet on those surfaces. And dosage, again, can really differ for everybody. But I mean, anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes a day, you'll feel effects from. I'm the same as you. Like, I even think since a kid, like, I'm barefoot, like, all the time. I am a hippie outside with dirty feet and, like, barefoot. Yeah. Now, when I have to work with horses and stuff, of course, I have to wear shoes and riding. But what's nice is not just from the electrical energetic side, but just like you said, with wearing shoes all the time, there's actually a huge structural physiological effect that's affecting our body's functions to move. So I'm a body worker. I do massage physical therapy on horses. And so I've always been very big in yoga and movement and watching how people's bodies move. And so by wearing shoes, which I only learned about this within the last like 2 years as well, you know, our feet are getting squished up front.
Yeah.
So eventually people's feet are doing this, which takes away our ankle mobility and our toe mobility, which when we lived outside and climbed trees and ran over mountains barefoot or rode horses barefoot, we needed that initial ankle stability for the rest of the body to be aligned and have mobility and strength. So that's your knees and your hips and your lower back and your neck. And think about all the people right now that have knee problems, hip problems, lower back problems, neck problems, and they do surgery instead. And people will look at you like you got two heads and be like, it could be because you wear shoes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And so now I'll even say for the shoes that I do wear, unless I'm going out for dinner or something here and there, but I've bought like the Zero brand shoes now,
yes.
So a big toe brand up front to work in. I have the Vibram toe glove shoes that I wear to walk the dogs in, because I have to walk on asphalt. So I do wear those. And it's great. And I have to tell you, I always struggled with some certain moves and things in yoga that I was like, man, what is going on? And I really think it was because my ankle mobility was very weak. And that's starting to get a whole lot stronger, I think, just by one, being barefoot all the time and building that strength, but also by not wearing shoes that are restricting all of that movement. And my next goal is for my hiking trips that I do take, I would like to try to do them barefoot. It just feels, I don't know, it's just something when you start tapping back into that primal part of our world that we've been so far removed from, just feel it. Like being barefoot, or like when I do go hiking, there's a half part of it that's real sandy and I'll just be barefoot. And I don't know if it's because like I'm going against the norm, but I just feel so strong and primal. When I tried duck hearts for the first time, I ate one and it was so good, first of all. But I also sat back and I was like, man, I feel like a warrior woman, you know, and I felt real primal. And I got the chance to hunt my first deer last year. And also, it was just a very, people will probably also look at you like you have two heads or something, but it was an experience that I can't even really put into words. Like there was a primal passion about it. And of course I sat and I prayed over the doe and I thanked her for her body and I used her nose to tail. So I did all the things that I feel were proper for hunting her. And you know, I don't do it for sport. I do it literally meat. But it's just so interesting that our bodies know, and that truth resonates at a certain frequency and vibration when we get back into these things. Even with the tuning forks, a lot of people might think like, well, that looks weird and that's crazy. Our churches back in the day, before it all got institutionalized and controlled, they were healing people with sound. Like you went to church to get healed and they were using sound, you know, singing bowls and pipes and tuning forks and any of those things back then that would actually heal. And it would tune into that natural wavelength and frequency that we get from planet Earth. So grounding's super important and you can get it from so many different ways and it doesn't take long, which is what's cool about it. Barefoot would be a totally cool new movement that I wish the modern world would take on a little more.
Oh yeah. Well, I find that hiking for me in moccasins is great. I like barefoot too. I certainly do. But just leather moccasins ends up working. That's a pretty good sweet spot. I like it because it is leather. So I do believe it is conductive. So it works. And that's the problem. We might have our barefoot shoes, but then of course the bottom is rubber or something like it. So it's tricky. I even find that I prefer walking in dress shoes that have leather bottoms.
Yeah.
Just if you find some, just wear them out. Just
invest in them and just use them as long as you can. Yeah.
Because leather bottoms that's hard to come by. If for men's shoes, it's like that's like high end and pricey now. But if you like thrift stores, you might find some. They're great. You know, it's kind of like civilized moccasins. You mentioned getting primal, and I think that's so important. That's something that is a missing piece, I think, for many people. That's why I love the term neo-Aboriginal. If we go back to the last known point that we were really, really healthy, and we know that we were, would be our Aboriginal ancestors, you know? And a lot of people say, well, they only lived to be 35 or whatever. And well, that's just because you're looking at infant mortality. And back then, if you didn't make it.
They had like decent predators back then.
Yeah.
Like lions and stuff.
I know. It's like you think a lion is big now. It used to be the size of a bus and it's
big deep, you know?
And like people were on the menu. I mean, so yeah.
Well, like chickens were five times their size. I don't think humans would even be around. Like we had some bad predators back in the day. So yes, I agree with you.
Oh, yeah. Dinosaurs could fly. I mean, so we had things like that. And I think that, I think it was Weston Price's book, I think is his name. He was a dentist who went back in like, 18 something. It was quite a while ago, but he looked at the people who were still indigenous, who are getting more and more rare at this time. But yeah, no disease, perfect teeth, didn't brush their teeth, et cetera, et cetera. And so to get into that near Aboriginal ideal, I think that, you know, light fits, being barefoot fits, and then also so does hunting, but we can also say like hunting and gathering, because for me, I like, I'm a hunter also forever. And I myself, like you mentioned, sport hunting, and since you've hunted, it's like I don't know anybody who sport hunts. I don't even know what that means. You know what I mean? It's like I've never seen anybody like shoot a lion, just take the head, right? Or even do anything like that. That's sort of a fantasy that doesn't exist in the real world. And so, yeah, your experience hunting is really something. And that's the thing I was going to ask about is actually eating light, like what we eat. Ultimately, we're in a sense eating light, and I just call it like the light content of our food. I mean, the more it's processed, like if it came in a can or if it was frozen, it's going to have a lot less than if you actually went out and, bow and arrow or you shot it or if you're going out and you're just simply gathering. Like here in the desert, it rains food. When you first get here, you think, oh my God, I live on Mars, But then But then you realize, no, actually, it rains food here in the desert. You've got prickly pear cactus. You can eat prickly pears. You can eat this. You can, and there's tons of, like, you know, rabbits and things. And there are lots of deer in the desert, believe it or not. I don't know how they live, but they do. Mesquite trees, just, it rains mesquite, saguaro cactus fruit. I mean, literally all year long, it just rains food in the desert. And there's some, which you wouldn't think. So when you first look at it, you're like, no, this is like awful, but it's, it does rain. It's actually more food here in the desert than there is in the Pacific Northwest and in the rainforest.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. You'd think like, no way, there's more in the rainforest. I'm like, what are you going to eat? A rock and a tree? I mean, no.
There's a light story there. You get UV light year round.
Oh, here. Yeah, we get lots of light. It's beautiful.
Things can grow year round. That sun and that UV light brings life around. Unfortunately, in other areas during a winter or rain, you know, Washington, they're not going to get that. But
yeah,
it's a very good point to bring up for sure, because light plays into our food story as well. You know, before grocery stores and processed foods, you only had whatever would grow outside at that time of the year for your location in the world. And so even when, you know, a lot of people, they're still going to be like, okay, well, what about diet? You know, I can get my life right. And then what about if I want to get my diet right? And really, without stepping on people's toes of saying one diet system is better than the other, if you just follow the light story of wherever you live, you need to be eating a local seasonal fat and protein based diet, because that is still what our mitochondria and what our DNA and genetics are tied to be the strongest, vital, optimal system that we need. Mm-hmm. And so that means that if you live somewhere in the winter, tell me what vegetable or fruit is going to grow outside without using some type of process system and fake light system that's going to make them grow. Well, nothing. So your wintertime is going to be a lot more, you know, keto based or carnivore based, because our ancestors would have only had animals available, maybe some roots and potatoes, squashes, winter squashes, once we got into a little bit of agriculture. And that's really what your diet's going to be. And if you do look at the mammal system, let's take like bears or squirrels or anything that hibernates in the winter, we're actually supposed to get nice and plump and fat in the summer, because there's fruits and there's vegetables and there's carbs and there's all the yumminess that grows in the UVB light, so that we can store all that mineral content, vitamin D content that also goes into our food and water for the winter. When food is more scarce, you sleep more because it's darker longer, and you hibernate and your body fasts, where you lose a lot of weight. So we're technically supposed to be our skinniest in the winter and our fattest in the summer. And of course, for aesthetic values, us modern Americans don't do that. But for food, that's really the light story that's tied to food as well. So thank you for bringing that up for the listeners, because I'm sure people will still be like, okay, well, what about eating and diet? And really, if you just try to follow a very seasonal local diet, you know, go support your local farmers. Our food system is really getting corrupted anymore, and there's lots of toxins, there's lots of poisons. They are pushing for more of a plant-based, vegan-based diet, and it is not healthy for the economy. It's not sustainable either. Who wants to eat bugs for the rest of their life? I mean, if I'm in the wilderness and have to, I will, but it's on the menu all the time. And so if we're supporting those local farmers, it takes out that middleman of the government, of the subsidies, of the grocery stores, and you're supporting somebody that's local to you. You might make a good friend, you might learn stuff, and your food is going to be healthier for you. And that's really how we change the narrative and the paradigms anyways. You know, you feed what you want to do better. Well, if we're talking to our farmers and we tell them, hey, I want pasture-raised chickens and I want pasture-raised cows and I don't want chemicals and I want this and I want that, and I'm going to pay you for it and I'm going to pay you directly, that's where the change starts to happen, because it gives the incentives to our local farmers to do what's best for their clients instead of listening to what the government tells them they have to do. And that's currently what's going on, and it's just getting all backwards. But if we follow the light story with food, you'll just know local, seasonal, for your time of year, for your time of day in your area.
Yeah, and that's a great way to approach it, I think, because diet can definitely be a religious issue. I mean, people get uptight, people definitely get uptight about that. Not everybody, but people can. And I do understand sometimes the ideals, you know, But I think sometimes people have to realize that, you know, humans did have a natural diet for a long time before there were vegans, before there was keto, before there was the carnivore ideal. You know, humans just lived and they were healthier than they are now. So I love the idea of going back to our last set point. When were we healthiest? And I think it's a great way to look at it. So whatever a person's individual maybe ideals are as far as diet, you can just try to get local. What would you eat if you were an Aboriginal right now living where you are? What would be there, and try to replicate that to some extent? You know, either go out and forage if you can. Forage is going to be super high energy food, whether it walks or whether it just grows. You know, it's going to be the super high energy food, and just try to, as close as one can, just replicate that in some way. And that's going to, that I think is quite the life changer too. And it is a more primal experience of life, like getting light, being grounded, also hunting and gathering to whatever extent one can, even if it's in the supermarket, just being seasonal or going to the farmer's market to whatever extent they can. And even if there's things that you're gathering locally, even if it's just cattails, or even if it's mesquite, or even if it's, you know, fruit, like whatever it might be, blackberries, you know, I personally think it's very life-changing.
Oh, yeah. And it's really empowering too. I mean, once you get into all of this and people realize that they can heal themselves just with light, which on the financial side is free, which is so nice. But knowing that you can take that power into your own hands is very empowering for people. Again, kind of full cycle back to the original part of our conversation today. You know, I think a lot of people feel very helpless, whether they're putting in all the effort or they've already given up. They feel very helpless because they're not reaching optimal. They're still dealing with symptoms. Your doctor's telling you that it's normal or nothing's wrong with you, or you're spending tons of money on the other side for all the supplements and the vitamins, especially like vegans, all the things you have to supplement to feel quote unquote normal or healthy. And now that line has come down so low to where our standard of feeling healthy is so low, I don't think most people even know what it feels like to feel good anymore. And so as you start to just change your light life and see these small things, you know, even the people that have written to me and just say like, man, I just have so much more energy, even just that alone is worth it just to give it a try. And when you start feeling the differences, and then you see that it's something that you're doing for yourself, you're doing it with nature, and it's something free, nobody's telling you what to do or handing you a prescription, you don't have to pay for it. It's really empowering for the body and the mind. And I think that's where that spirituality and consciousness part starts to connect, because it's going to start connecting you with your body again. And I think people are so far removed from that as well, of knowing what feels good, knowing what's right, what food should I eat? They tell me eggs are good, then they tell me they're bad, then they tell me they're good. We're going to get away from all of that, because you're just going to know what you're supposed to eat. You know, even like right now, we've just had a shift in weather finally in Louisiana. We don't have like the oppressive humidity anymore. We've got some nice breeze and some like 85 degree temperatures. And it's so funny now to where like I've been eating mangoes and coconut and yogurt for the summer because it's been so hot. Now I'm like, I'm ready for some, you know, oatmeal and some bacon and eggs and, you know, curry and soups. And so I always thought I was very in tune with my body, which I think I was, but it has only strengthened even more so by connecting back to the light life in nature and that primal feeling of like, wait a minute, what do I really want? What does my body want to eat? What does my body want to do? Where do I need to move? And it's most in touch with that when I'm still keeping my light life healthy. And so I just think it will help people feel so empowered and stronger. And that's when we actually all start making better decisions for our families, for our politics, for our religions, everything. You start to feel better, move better, think better. And then that's where we can actually, I hope, unite and change all these systems that we have been a slave to for so long. And that's really my passion behind all of this, and my hope for everybody changing their light life, is that it all moves to that.
It definitely does. And there's so many little pieces that begin to add up that you won't be able to miss it. Like books disappearing, very interesting. being saved from being run over by a truck is one. But also the way you see things, there's, as many may have noticed recently, a lot of food production has been getting like exploded, catches on fire. You know, the buildings have fire suppression. They just seem to just go up in flames, you know. For some reason, it didn't work that day. So, and there's even, there's a site you can go to or two that actually where people are mapping it. And it, I even researched it somewhere. Yeah, in the last couple of two, 3 years, decade, it's been like, one or two or three food processing plants had issues, but it seems like now it's like hundreds in the last 2 years. It's insane. So we're seeing somebody is attacking the food supply. But really, when you do start to think about that more primal life and finding your food locally, maybe even growing it if you can, or having that as an ideal, you could grow hydroponics and like high ormus nutrient, a lot of things you can do. So you can start to grow superfoods inside. So I think that with the changing times that we're in right now, there's so much good happening, but you have to have that powerful intuition so that you're always a week or a month or a year ahead of the game. Yeah. And then as the centralized food supply collapses, we're going to see a localized food supply, which is even better anyway, and yeah. is more powerful for the community, the family, the individual. And then you're going to be a part of that because you're walking around barefoot in the sun.
And it's a great point to bring that up, because a lot of times when you, especially on like the conspiracy theory side of things, we hear so much of the bad, of course, like you would in modern times. And for a little while, it can get scary, you know, and there's times where man, this is gonna suck, you know, and like I gotta be prepared and this and that. But I don't like to live in fear, and I think that's a big reason why things are pushed the way they are. And even with like the burning of the manufacturing warehouse and stuff, like I don't even know if actually all of that is really happening. Like we have no mm-hmm. idea, really, to be honest. And it could
it's true.
Be your tactic as well. However, I know we are though seeing in real time fertilizing prices going up and fertilizer not being as available. And if you know any farmers or you've done any little bit of farming yourself, and even with me just being in the horse industry, that makes all of those prices and availability go up. And granted, right away, it doesn't hit modern mainstream America yet. You give it about a year and a half, which is coming. Your prices, even if there's availability in the grocery store, the price is going to be so ridiculous that you're not going to be able to even get it. And so by getting out of that centralized food system, like you mentioned, back into a local decentralized is going to be so much better. So instead of letting fear take you over of like, there might not be any food, or I got to do this, or I got to do that, that's only going to stress out your body even more. Just think about what the pathways we can make. We make our own reality, especially us as the consumers. We create the demand. So stop supporting that narrative and that system by voting different senators and governors in and out is not going to change anything. Mm-hmm. So we come back down to the local level and you support those farmers and those agricultural programs. And maybe, you know, if somebody's in an educational school system, like let's start bringing that into school systems again, 4-H and all these things. That's where then we just create the future that we want, which is supporting the locals, which does actually make the financial side of things so much better. So we're going to have to go through that little time of where an old narrative, an old paradigm burns down, but it's happening. It's even happening in the medical profession, which makes me so happy. It's kind of scary for most people, of course, but we have to see all of that burn down. And then we need opportunities like this for people, whether it's about life or whether it's a farmer that does regeneration, whatever area it is, we need to come in and bring in this information. Because I will say, even on the conspiracy side of things, there's a lot of times where there's shows where they're only bringing the doom and the gloom. Like, this is coming, and this is coming. And it still creates a lot of fear and stress. And that's not the vibration that we want to be vibing and flowing at. And so if you can give people solutions, like what you're doing right now by providing me on your podcast, so thank you. Like, hey, just get out in the light. You're going to think better. You're going to feel better. And hey, maybe an idea is going to come to you. Like, I literally have two inventions I'm currently working on now because that download came to me after a year of changing my light life. And it came to me on the beaches of Tulum, Mexico, you know? And these things will happen. These synchronicities of missing your book. There's a reason why your book got taken, and it'll come at some point when it reappears. But these things happen. And if you are aware enough to pay attention to it, abundance is just going to flow, and we're going to change the reality and change the paradigm. And it's super cool. It's super powerful. And that's what people kind of need to like latch on and think about.
Oh, definitely. It's like Gary Vaynerchuk, a very interesting character, a bit of a motivational speaker. He said that he said it frustrates him, but it also inspires him because so many people are so close to happiness.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They're so close to happiness. They just need to be
Yeah.
They just need to like go hunting in moccasins in the sun and they'll be like just so happy, you know?
Naked in the sun for 10 minutes and I promise you most of your worries will go away, at least for the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if you want to chase rabbits with an addle, and you know, it'd be even better. Or go find gathering of wild mushrooms and such. Don't be so afraid of wild mushrooms. Humanity has eaten them for a long time. You won't die. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I've had you for quite a while. It's been great. Is there anything else, like in closing a course, where people can get a hold of you and such? But before that, is there anything that you want to mention that you have not to help people out?
I would probably just kind of like end on that tail of message that I was just kind of talking about. You know, it can be very scary to take in a lot of new information, even if it's for the good. Especially if you have any type of like type A or go-getter type of mindset, like I am. I got to do all the things right away and be perfect at it. You're only going to stress out your body more. And so just take this information in and let resonate whatever resonates. Most important is still the sunrise. I will always hound that and making your nights dark. But just don't let it stress you. You know, we're still here to enjoy life. We're not here for really that long of time. So enjoy the things that you can. Try to incorporate light. Natural light as much as you possibly can, and you will see your life change. You will see your health change, all for the better. Abundance will come in. And I'll really kind of just end it with that. Do not let the fear come in. Do not let the worry or that I'm not doing it good enough or I'm not doing it right enough. Don't let any of that come in. There's no wrong answer with light. As long as you're getting natural light throughout the day with the sunrise and your nights are dark, if that's all you take from this, you're going to have it going on. You're going to reach optimal.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And yeah. So I'm going to end it with that. Other than that, as far as finding me, he mentioned my website before, lightshapes.life. You can find just some introduction information there. I've got resources, references, and then all of my upcoming events will be on there. So I do hold local seminars. I'm in Louisiana, but if anybody wants to bring me to their facility, it can be a yoga studio or a health facility. Like I'll talk to doctors. I don't care. A school. I would love to get a hold of kids and start teaching them this information. If anybody's interested in co-creating, you know, like a biohacking or a light retreat, we could talk about that. So there's a way on my website to be able to contact me. At the moment, I hold local seminars here in Louisiana. And then I also hold Zoom webinars to be able to open this information to anybody all over the world. Both the seminar and the webinars are usually about 90 minutes of kind of everything that we chatted about today, but we'll dive a little deeper into the science and why and how it shapes your life, and then get into more of the daily and seasonal protocols. And then I always have a Q&A at the end where people can come on and ask whatever questions that they feel they need to. And then with the webinar, it's a recording. So even if you can't make it live, you'll get the recording that you can watch afterwards. And everybody will get my handout that has, you know, health tips and resources and discount codes, articles that they can look up. This information is out there. We've been healing ourselves with the sun for a long time, like we mentioned. So you're just not going to see it in mainstream so much, although there is now some articles coming out about circadian rhythms. So I'm super happy to see that. But that's where you can find me. I'll have my next webinar on October 18th. I believe it's a Tuesday. No, the 19th. It's a Wednesday. And so I'll start advertising for that. You can find me on Instagram at Jolie_EN_Soul, SOL. And I'm usually posting things every couple of days for free that just has information based off of light, whether right now we're kind of finishing up like a food story reel. Everything else on there can have like red light therapy or even just the basics of light foundation and therapy. So you can find me on there as well. And I think that's it. But thank you so much. It was such a joy to talk to you. And thank you for sharing your stories. And
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here and helping the world out. And also, I was going to mention, here's one to watch. Watch your animals. Look what they do. Like this little crazy cat like lays out in the sun a few times a day, in the morning, in the middle of the day. Yeah. She likes to go out there and
that's actually huge. Like my dogs are the same. They're laid out in the sun right now behind me. And that's something that we need to kind of realize we didn't tap into enough on the magnetic side, but like our Wi-Fi radiation, our cell phone radiation.
Yes.
That is a quantum health aspect of light that we don't see with our naked eyes, but still has a physiological effect on us. Dogs and even horses, our animals are staying in long times as well, just like we are, and it's making them just as sick. And so if you have animals and pets, you've probably seen a huge explosion of all kinds of cancers and malignant type of autoimmune diseases, things that animals never had 40, 50
years. Yeah.
And so what's the difference there too? They're staying indoors more. You know, your animals are being surrounded by your radiation coming off of your modem all day long while you're gone. My modem is never plugged in until I literally need it. And so I will give a preface warning. If your dog is fighting cancer, you might want to watch your health, because usually the animals are going to get it before somebody in the house gets it. And so you're going to want to look for your modem plugging in, 5G towers by your house. Does your, it's escaping my brain.
Starlink.
The thing that the electrical company checks outside for its
use. Oh, meter box thing.
So most of those are digital nowadays and Wi-Fi, so that they can just send the information to the company. Those things blast your house with radiation. And I've known a woman that actually, her dog got cancer, she got cancer, finally got into the quantum health space, and she realized that that box was sitting on the wall outside of her bedroom, and her bed was right up next against it, and she got brain cancer. So big deals of things there that need to be discussed, and we can talk deeper about that if somebody comes to my seminar or whatnot. But those are things we really need to watch for. If your animals start struggling, if your health is okay, I would still keep an eye out, because things are going to come up.
Oh, that is a big deal. That is a big deal for sure. Yeah. And have you been taking your dogs to the dog park in your Tesla? Anyway, we'll leave it at that.
Absolutely. All right. Plus power generator in the back, just in case.
Yeah, just in case. Just in case. You know, you'd be better off with a steam engine. Anyway.
Yes.
Well, take care. It's been great. Yeah,
thank you so much, Craig. This has been wonderful. Have a wonderful weekend. And thanks again for having me. And we'll keep in touch. Shine bright.
We will. Take care.
Bye. All right. Thanks. Bye.